Shmuel Beis, Perek Chof Aleph. Vayhi Rav Bimei David. There was a famine in the days of David. Shalosh Shanim, for 3 years there was this famine. Shana Achre Shana, year after year. And a famine was unusual. The Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis, in Simen Chof Hei, lists all the times in Tanakh where you find a famine. And the times of Avram Avinu there was a famine, and the times of Yitzchak there was a famine. But it lists all the times that there was a famine. And this is one of the rare occasions. In the days of David there was a famine. And it wasn't a 1 year problem, but it was 3 years. And it was consecutive, shana achrei shana, year after year. The crops failed, and then the next year was no better. And then again. And there was a clear message. Now, David HaMelech didn't wait for 3 years to take action. And this perek is basically explained at length in Yevamos, on Daf Ayin Ches Amid Beis, and Ayin Tes Amid Aleph. We'll be referring to this Gemara often. But the Gemara says that the first year, as soon as there was a famine, David, when the people gathered together and they were Ola Regel, they came up together for the Yom Tov, David inquired, maybe people are guilty of idol worship. Because we know from what we say in Kriya Shema, Bavartim Elohim Acherim, if they serve these other gods, these powers, Vishtachavisim Lahem, and they bow down to them, actually Chazal say there are no other powers. It means powers, Elohim, that are indifferent, they're Acherim, they're like strangers to those who worship them. They have no power. But if a person worships idols, V'atzer Hashemayim Lo Yiyeh Matar, there won't be rain. So first David figured if the crops are failing, it must mean that perhaps there's Avodah Zarah. And they did a thorough investigation, and the people were innocent of any wrongdoing of Avodah Zarah. But the next year there was still a famine. So again, David examined and he said perhaps people are guilty of doing Averis with Arias, forbidden relationships. They examined. And nobody was guilty of that. In the third year, there was again a famine. So every time they're trying to find out what the cause of it is, but obviously they haven't found it. Perhaps, the Gemara says, David thought, it could be people made pledges for tzedakah. And if a person makes a pledge for tzedakah, the poor people are looking forward that they think the money's coming to them. They'll be helped. If the person is postgate stucco barabim, he promises stucco in public and he doesn't deliver, that's like a person looks at the clouds and he thinks rain is on its way, and Hashem doesn't deliver. The same way the guy doesn't deliver what he promised, Hashem doesn't deliver the rain that was promised. Perhaps that was their sin. But it wasn't. People were not guilty of that. It seems that people are on such a high madrega at this point, they weren't guilty of Avodah Zarah, not of immorality, not of even promising tzedakah, not delivering it. In fact, the Gemara says in Eruvin, Daf Samach Gimel, David HaMelech even thought, perhaps this is related to what we learned in the previous perek. David had chosen one Kohen. One of the explanations was, Ira HaYoiri was the Kohen to David. And if somebody gives all of his truma to this one person, perhaps that's what causes the famine. Hashem wants you to share the wealth, and when you care for all the Kohanim, then Hashem will care for all the people. And if you play favoritism, you give everything to one person, perhaps that's what caused the famine. Whereas you can have your main Kohen, you got to diversify your stucco portfolio. You can have your main Kohen, you can have your main cause, but you should give to other places also. Perhaps that what caused it. Which David corrected. But it's David didn't know. 3 years. Year after year. What's going wrong? Vayivakesh David es p'nei Hashem. So David seeked guidance from Hashem. He did whatever was in his control. He looked for whatever, and each one of these averus is based on psukim, or is with a thorough knowledge of Tanakh and having the Masorah and Klal Yisrael, he knows which averus cause a famine. But he wasn't guilty of any of those averus. The nation wasn't guilty. Vayivakesh David es pnei Hashem. So David sought out advice from Hashem. The Gemara learns out with the Urim v'Tumim. He consulted to get an answer. There's like a break here. It's like a new parsha, but it's in the middle of a pasuk. Vayomer Hashem. And Hashem said, El Sho'ul vel Beis Hadomim. You're looking here and you're looking there. You're trying to figure out why there's no rain. Why is there a hunger? You're looking in the wrong place. It doesn't say Al Sho'ul concerning Sho'ul. It says El Sho'ul. You're looking at, you got to look to Sho'ul. Vel Beis Hadomim. And look to that house of bloodshed. The house of Sho'ul is a bloody household. Al Asher Hamis Es HaGivonim. Because Sho'ul killed the Givonim. And if he killed the Givonim, that's why there's a famine. There's a few different things here. First of all, El Sho'ul. You want to know why there's a famine? El Sho'ul. Because people didn't say a proper hesped. They didn't eulogize Sho'ul when he died. Sho'ul was killed in battle with the Plishtim. The Jewish forces were defeated. There was a rout. Sho'ul was killed with his sons. The Plishtim took the bodies and they hung them up. It was a tremendous Chil Hashem, a disgrace. Here the anointed one from Hashem is being hung up like a criminal, like a loser. The people from Yovesh Gilad went and they quietly stole. They went at night and they stole into that town square and they took down the bodies and they quickly brought it back and they buried it. They didn't make a big to-do over it. Perhaps they were afraid the Plishtim were the winners. The Plishtim might come back. The Plishtim might do something. So they did it quietly. They were just happy that they got Sho'ul's body back and that the Chil Hashem should be ended and Sho'ul should be buried. But we're dealing with the Godol Hador, the Tzadik Hador, the Sho'ul HaMelech. Sho'ul HaMelech is just buried quietly. Where are the Hespedim? Where is the mourning? El Sho'ul. Because they didn't say a hesped, they didn't mourn Sho'ul properly, that's one problem. Vel Beis Hadomim. And because Sho'ul's house is a house of blood, Al Asher Hamis Es HaGivonim, he killed the Givonim. And the Gemara says, Katov Al Sho'ul, in the same pasuk, you're being Toveya, you're demanding from Klal Yisrael, where's your respect for Sho'ul? That they didn't say a proper hesped. And in the same pasuk you're saying Sho'ul did such a terrible thing, he killed the Givonim. And that you're taking everyone to task for not eulogizing him. And the Gemara says, yes. By Hashem, that's the way it works. Hashem can judge somebody and he can get a punishment and he can be guilty, but his mitzvos and his greatness is not ignored. Sho'ul was very great. He deserved a hesped. And because Klal Yisrael didn't eulogize him, that was a complaint against Klal Yisrael. Happens to be Sho'ul is also guilty of a terrible offense. Al Asher Hamis Es HaGivonim for killing the Givonim. Now, the question is exactly when this famine was. From here till the end of Sefer Shmuel, we're going to see a few more incidents, but it's not clear exactly when it happened. As the pasuk starts off, there was a famine. Vayirov bimei David. There was a famine in the days of David. It doesn't say exactly when it was. Rashi in Yevamos on Daf Ayin Tesamet Aleph discusses that when David was told there was a complaint that they didn't eulogize Sho'ul. There was a complaint that the Givonim were killed. We'll see in a moment, David immediately turned his attention to the Givonim. He's got to speak to the Givonim, he has to appease them, and he has to somehow get a kapara for what happened to the Givonim. And you don't find a discussion about a hesped. Certainly not at this point. And the Gemara says, Amar David, Sho'ul nafkulahu treser yarchei shata. For Sho'ul, 12 months have already passed. And it's not the derech to say a hesped after the year is over. That's the gzeirah. Nobody lives forever. The year is over, and then people have to move on with their lives, as difficult as it is. But it's not the time to re-arouse a hesped after 12 months. So at this point, David figured it was a mistake. Shaul wasn't mourned properly. And we'll see later on that was rectified. But at the moment, he's going to deal with the Givonim. He felt this lack of a hesped was too late. And Rashi says, Lav Dafka. It wasn't necessarily 12 months. Dokorov Litlosin Shoninhu. Rashi says it was around 30 years later. David HaMelech was king for 40 years. And we'll see this was not at the very end of his life, because there was a three-year famine, and then he counted the people. There were a few years from the beginning of the famine till the end of Malchus David, until he was Nifter. But it was toward the end of his life. Rashi learns it was at least around 30 years after Shaul had been Nifter. Other Mephorshim say this was around either the same year or the year after Avshalom rebelled. And after that incident with Avshalom is when the famine occurred. Tosfos says that in Temura on Daf Tesvav. But you see the tremendous, it gives us an appreciation of history. And as again, people are used to where we live and you expect to see an immediate cause and effect. Or as you know, we do something good, we do tshuva, you want immediate results. You see a Russia does something wrong, we're all looking to see the immediate punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was an Erech HaPayim. Shaul was Nifter. It could be 30 years went by. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting. Klal Yisrael should make Hespedim and should do tshuva. Perhaps at the very beginning there was too much of a turmoil after what happened with Avshalom and what happened with Sheva ben Bichri. And before that, there was a lot of difficulties with enemies and there was a lot going on in Klal Yisrael. But now that things have quieted down, at a certain point Hashem expects that Klal Yisrael should study. Why is it that Shaul was killed? Shaul was killed and his sons were killed. Because they killed Novi or Akon and they were killed. But Klal Yisrael had a hand with that also. There were those who encouraged Shaul to go against David, to go against the Givonim. We'll learn more about it. But because they didn't take a lesson that it's time to rectify what's wrong, now the famine comes. And again, they weren't sent Nevi'im, they weren't given a warning. They were on the level, and we've learned that they weren't guilty of Avodah Zarah and not Gilui Arayos. The people were on a very high level. And it was expected that without a Novi coming and pointing out to them what they did wrong, they should figure on their own. So at a certain point, Hashem said, you don't realize you have to do tshuva. He sent a famine. 1 year, and another year, and another year. And David didn't even ask until he did whatever he could do. After he searched and he probed to figure out what had possibly the guilt of Klal Yisrael was, Hashem told him. Vayomer Hashem el Shaul, because they weren't maspid, they didn't eulogize Shaul, v'obeis hadomim, and because David's house is Shaul's house is a house of bloodshed, al asher hamises hagivonim, because he killed the givonim. It could be he killed the givonim. Rashi brings down when David was fleeing from Shaul, David fled to the city of Nov. And he was starved. He didn't have anything to eat. He didn't have any weapons. He didn't have anything with him. And the Kohen in Nov gave him food from the Lechem upon him and gave him something to eat. And Shaul felt that the city was united against him. How is it that the Kohen Gadol, the one who leads the city, their leader is helping out David? And David is against him. David's a Moed B'Malchus. That's the way Shaul perceived it. So Shaul felt that the whole city is Chayiv Misa, because they're backing the enemy. They're supporting David. When the city was wiped out, Nov Ir HaKonim was destroyed, and the people were killed, there were seven Givonim who were killed. And we're going to see the Givonim are going to request seven people on whom they can vent their revenge. But seven people were killed. We know the Givonim were Chotvei Eitzim V'Shoavei Mayim. They chopped wood and they drew water to serve in the Mishkan, to serve the people, to serve the Avodah. So Rashi brings down a Yerushalmi. There were two Chotvei Eitzim, two of the wood choppers were killed, and two of those who drew water. And then there were another three people. There was a Shamis and a Chazan and a Sofer. Three other people had positions in the community of these Givonim, and there were seven people who were killed. It seems like that was not the main thrust of the attack. They were in Nob and they ended up being killed. And this was an incident that happened decades earlier. But he's held to blame for Al-Sher Hamas as a Givonim, because he killed a Givonim. And the Gemara says something even more startling. If he would have actually killed them, it would have been surprising that it was sort of inadvertent. In other words, his main battle was with the Kohanim. He felt the Kohanim were rebelling against him. It happened to be the Givonim were there. Some of them got killed. That was not the main intention. And Shaul himself had already been killed, he and his sons. And yet, the blame is being placed on Klal Yisrael all these years later. But it's even more startling, because the Gemara says, V'chi heichon matzinu b'shol shehem yisagivonim. If we look through the Navi, it doesn't say anywhere that Shaul killed the Givonim. This is the first we find a mention of it. El mitoch shaharag Nov ira Kohanim. But because Shaul killed this city of Nov, and in this city, they provided a livelihood for the Givonim. There was a community of Givonim, and they had joined Klal Yisrael. What actually happened was, they were from the seven nations, from the Amori that lived in Klal Yisrael, that lived in Eretz Yisrael. And they came to Yoshua, and they fooled him. They lied. They said they came from a faraway country, and they want to make a peace treaty with Bnei Yisrael. Now, if Bnei Yisrael knew that they were from Eretz Yisrael, they would have had to leave. Nobody is allowed to remain alive. Any goy that lives there in Eretz Yisrael had to leave. But the Givonim said they came from a faraway country, and they made a peace treaty with Bnei Yisrael. And then it was discovered that they really were local inhabitants. So they really got themselves into Klal Yisrael with this trickery. They made a treaty. So they were left to work for the Mizbeach. But there was always that type of animosity toward the Givonim, we'll see, because the Givonim really didn't belong there. The Givonim should have left the country when Bnei Yisrael came. But that's how the Givonim came here. But they had a livelihood. They worked by the Mishkan, they chopped wood, they drew water, and they were able to live. Once the Kohanim were killed, they now didn't have a livelihood. So Malalova Kosov Kilu Hargon. The Torah considers it, the Pasuk considers it, as if Shaul would have killed them, because he destroyed their livelihood. In fact, the Gemara in Baba Kama, and Daf Kuf Yud Tes, elaborates at how careful a person has to be with somebody else's money. And it talks about Kol Agozos Chavero Shavu Pruta. If somebody steals a Shavu Pruta, a small coin, it's like he takes his life. And it brings one pasuk. And it says not only his life, but it's like he's killing his children, because the person doesn't have what to support the family. The whole family is considered as if he's killing the whole family. And even if it's a case of chomos, where he pays and he takes something by force, if he takes what's not rightfully his, he's guilty. And the Gemara ends off. V'chi teimahani mili heichid zekovid biyodayim. You might think that's all if you buy with your own hands, you take something that belongs to another. Avol grom alo. But I would think if you indirectly, you cause somebody else a loss, that's not so bad. Toshma, so the pasuk is brought, El Shol Vel Beis Hadomim Al Shehem Yisas HaGivonim. This pasuk. That Shol is blamed for killing the Givonim because it was a grumma. He caused them to lose their livelihood, and therefore Ziphi killed them. And since Shol did that, Klal Yisrael is held to blame, because Klal Yisrael should have protested. We had a story earlier when we were fighting against the Plishtim. Klal Yisrael was fighting against the Plishtim. Shol made a Shavua. Shol had the people swear they weren't going to eat until the battle was over. Nobody's going to eat that day. And Yehonah's son, who had actually gone on his own and led the attack, and he wasn't aware of what happened, he tasted some honey. And over there, Shol felt that Yehonah's son was chayev to be killed. It was a tragedy. Yehonah's son didn't know better. But the king gave out an edict, which was accepted, that whoever eats that day will be killed. But the people protested. Hashem brought a whole miracle about through Yehonah's son that they defeated the enemy. How could it be? Chai Hashem im yipo misaras rosh ha'artza. A hair of his shouldn't fall to the ground. So you see, the people stood up to Shol when they felt he was wrong for killing Yehonah's son. And Yehonah's son wasn't killed. There was obviously a complaint on Klal Yisrael that they didn't stand up for the Givonim. Or for Novir HaKohanim, or they didn't take care of the Givonim afterwards. But somehow the fact that the Givonim are suffering is held as a blame on Klal Yisrael. Vayikra HaMelech. So the king called LaGivonim to the Givonim, Vayomer Aleihem, and he said to them. What did he say to them? He must have said to them, we're suffering from a famine for 3 years. And I got a message from Hashem that it's because an injustice was done to you. And he was hoping that they would be mochel. Or they would say, oh, he didn't realize nobody should suffer as a result of us. And of course it was terrible, but there should be some way of appeasing them. Perhaps if Klal Yisrael would guarantee their livelihood. Give them a raise in their standard of living. So somehow they should be able to be appeased. And David was hoping he could work together with them. Vayikra HaMelech, the Pasuk says. He called to them as a king. Again, it's the tremendous greatness of Klal Yisrael. That as a king, he's going to negotiate and beg with what these Gerim Gerurim. They're like the lowest of Gerim. Or they're not born as Jews, they joined the people, and they didn't join as a person who has a commitment and who wants to serve Hashem like a Ger Tzedek that we have to love. These were people who came into Klal Yisrael through trickery. And then Yeshua said, okay, we can't kill you. We made a treaty, worked for the Mishkan, and they were given what they were able to live. But these were the lowest of the Gerim. The lowest. And yet, Vayikra HaMelech, the king is calling, and he's going to negotiate and deal with them. Because he knows that's what Hashem wants. So you can have the mighty David HaMelech speaking to these people. And also what he's going to say, in the punishment that's going to end up with the household of Shaul, is nothing personal. It's not between David, who suffered from Shaul. It's as a king, this is what the nation needs. This is Hashem's message. The Givonim have to be appeased. So as the king, he's going to call and discuss it with them. And he said to them what he told them. V'ha-givonim lo mi-bnei Yisrael heima. The Givonim are not from Bnei Yisrael. Ki mi-yeser ho-emori, but from the remnant, those who remain from the Emori nation that lived in Eretz Canaan when we came. The Emori lived there, and some of them were these Givonim. Uvnei Yisrael nishbulem, but the Bnei Yisrael had sworn to them that they won't harm them, and they'll let them be, and therefore, they remained. They remained with Klal Yisrael. Vayivake Shol lahakosom. Shol sought to strike them. Bekanoso livnei Yisrael vihuda, with his jealousy, his kina, for the Bnei Yisrael and Yehuda. the Mefarshim deal with this. Here it seems to say he wanted to strike them. Before it seemed to say he actually killed them. Like, what happened? Here it says, Vayivakish, he wanted to do it. It implies like he was not successful. And the Mefarshim mentioned, first of all, Bekanosu Livnei Yisrael V'Yehuda could be in a positive sense. That Shaul realized after all these years, the Givonim still had the terrible character traits, and they only were part of Klal Yisrael because they tricked Yoshua, and they tricked the Zakenim, and somehow they became part of us. But after what happened, perhaps he felt they were siding with the Kohanim of Nov. And it was once he wiped out Novir HaKohanim because they were against him, Shaul decided, let's get rid of all the Givonim. That's it. They've lost their rights to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So it could be both Pesukim are correct. There were Givonim in the city of Nov, and a few of them were killed. And by Vakesh Shaul HaKosim, he wanted to strike them to get rid of them from all of Eretz Yisrael. Because of this kinuf of Bnei Yisrael v'Yehuda, that Klal Yisrael shouldn't have to deal with these people that don't have the same character perfection of Klal Yisrael. Or perhaps he had his jealousy against Bnei Yisrael and Yehuda, who he were rebelling against him, and that's why he wanted to strike the Givonim. But besides those that were actually killed, or those that lost their parnosa, Shaul wanted to get rid of all of them. That's the way some Mefarshim learn. So these are who we're dealing with. We're dealing with these Givonim Alomi Bnei Yisrael Haima. And we're going to see their answer. But before we get into what they said and what they did, the first thing is that Novi tells us the Givonim are not from Bnei Yisrael. There are certain traits that are known to be by the Jewish people. Rachmonim, there has to be a sense of mercy, compassion. Baishonim, embarrassment, meaning a sense of modesty, a busha. An embarrassment, a sense of not a brazen, bold type of character, but a more modest, embarrassed, humble, baishonim. V'gomlei chasodim. And they have that nature of doing chesed, wanting to do kindness with others. And the Gemara says, Shlosha simonim yesh ba'umazu. Klal Yisrael has three signs. And if somebody doesn't have these signs, he doesn't belong to be part of Klal Yisrael. And the Givonim didn't have it. We'll see in a moment, they did not have these signs. And in fact, the Gemara learns out that David HaMelech made a gezeira to alienate the Givonim, which Rashi explains to mean that they now became usur to marry the Givonim. And they're also, the nation is also called Nisinim, because Yeshua was Vayitenosam, Yeshua placed them as water carriers. They're called the Nisinim. The Nisinim, there's an Isur Midrabanon to marry them, because they don't have the Midos of Klal Yisrael, and therefore they can't join us. They were with us for hundreds of years. All the time. In other words, we're almost up to Shlomo Melech, we're almost up to the Beis HaMikdash. This is over 300 years that the Givonim are there. And they're by the Mishkan. And they're with the Kohanim. In other words, they're with the elite of Klal Yisrael. The most holy, the most special, the most learned people of the nation. For hundreds of years. And we'll see it didn't have an effect on them. They have a grudge and they're going to demand blood. And therefore, Vagivonim lo b'nei Yisrael, Hema, they're not from B'nai Yisrael. It obviously didn't help to have them next to the Kohanim or next to the Mishkan. They're just not part of it. Vayomer David el Givonim. So now David says to the Givonim, Mo es alachem, what can I do for you in the future? In other words, what should I do for you right now? And how can I bring a kapara for what happened in the past? And you should bless the inheritance, the nachla of Hashem. In other words, the Jewish people is the nachla of Hashem, and this is something the Givonim would have realized. Can you imagine that after decades later, all of a sudden there's a famine? 3 years, 1 year after another, And now the king comes to them with a message, a divine message through the Urim V'Tumim, that the Givonim have to be appeased. Only a holy nation, only an Am Hashem would do such a thing. And he's telling them, you're dealing with a very special nation, you're dealing with Nachlas Hashem. Keeping that in mind, how do you feel, what can we do to better your lot that we should have a kapara, that we should be forgiven? And you should bless the Nachlas Hashem. Vayomru lo ha-givonim. So the Givonim said to David. Again, it would seem possibly it said Vayomer David. When David spoke to the Givonim, he came to them not as the king, but he came to them as a, you know, down to earth. He was willing to negotiate. He didn't intimidate them. He came and he asked them. He realized it's not enough for them to say they're moichel. They have to really mean it. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, they must be appeased. And he came to them in a friendly manner. He came to them as David, as a person, and he spoke to them. Vayomer lo ha-givonim. The givonim replied, Ein lanu kesef v'zov im shol v'im beso. We have no silver or gold with Shaul in his household. This is not a case of money. Ve'ein lanu ish lahamis b'Yisrael. And there's no man that we would want to kill from Yisrael, from the rest of the Jewish nation. The only person who was involved besides Shaul was his advisor, Doeg Ho'adomi. It was Doeg's idea that they helped out David and they're all rebelling and the city should be wiped out, and Doeg wasn't living anymore. Now Shaul had wanted his servants to wipe out the city, and the servants didn't want. Doeg had gone to do the mission, and we're going to see there are those who learn that some of Shaul's children participated in wiping out Novi'ir HaKohanim. But the rest of the people didn't agree with this. The Givonim said, we don't want silver or gold from Shaul and his household. Ve'ein lanu ish lahamis b'Yisrael, there's no individual, no person we want to kill from Yisrael. The ksiv, the way it's written, there's no nun in the word ein lanu. It's almost as if it would say ein li, I don't have, on a singular, lashon yochid. And as Rashi said, they said we have no silver or gold with Shaul, meaning we're going to ask for the life of Shaul's children. We're going to ask that they should be killed. So David went and he figured there's a certain amount of peer pressure, that everyone's in this together and nobody wants to back down. So David went to these Givonim individually. He said, Mr. So-and-so, what, can we strike a deal that you should be Moichel Shaul and be Moichel Klal Yisrael? And the response was, Ein li kesef v'zov. Every individual said, I am not interested in money. And he went to every single one. Rashi brings this down from Yerushalmi. And as a group, their answer was, Ein lanu. That's why we read it, Ein lanu. We don't want money. Vayomer. So David had an inclination what they were thinking. But Vayomer, he said, Mo atem omrim. What are you saying? You're telling me you don't want money or anything from Shaul's family? You're not interested in killing anyone else? What do you want? Es elochem, and I'll do it for you. Vayomru al HaMelech. So they said to the king, Ha'ish asher kilonu, the person who annihilated us. Again, I don't know if he, it could be he didn't, they're exaggerating. I mean, they lost their parnasa, and there were some who were killed, but they describe it as, with the full severity, as the way they magnify whatever was done. He's the one who annihilated us. Vasher dimolanu, and he had thoughts of how he's going to get rid of us. Nishmanu. We were like eliminated, destroyed. Misyatze b'chol gvul Yisrael. That we can't stand anywhere in Klal Yisrael. What happened was, after Shaul said, wiped out Novi'ir HaKohanim, and then Shaul decided, you know, it's about time, let's get rid of the Givonim. Either he didn't trust them on a personal level, or he felt it's not good for Klal Yisrael. But once he said he was going to get rid of the Givonim, and they should leave the country, so therefore nobody else wanted to help out the Givonim, and they really couldn't find a livelihood wherever they went. There was no place for them in the country. So they had that gripe, and they had that complaint, and obviously there was something to it, but their response to it was totally out of keeping with a proper midos. They have a complaint. They have a complaint that they're not nishmadu misyati b'chol gvul Yisrael. We can't be anywhere within the boundaries of Israel. Nobody's helping us. And they obviously had a complaint, and that's why Hashem brought this famine. But their response is totally unjustified. Yutan lonu, it should be given to us. Shiva anashim ibanov, 7 men from Shaul's children. And again, the ksiv is like yinosein. There's a nun in there. Almost as if they're saying it will be given. Or as they know Hashem will do it. The Radak discusses that, the grammar between nifal and hafal and exactly the forms of the word. Yinosein would imply that Hashem will see to it that it's done. Or as they, but they consider this as their religious right, and in their religious indignation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help them out to get their revenge. But what they said to David was, Yutam Lanu, which should be given to us, Shiva Anoshim Ibonov, 7 men from Shaul's descendants, from his children. Vokanu Lashem, and we're going to hang them up to Hashem. Or is at the same time they have this cruelty, they're going to hang them up and kill them? And that's like their holy thing. They're doing it Lashem, in honor of Hashem. They're going to hang them up in honor of Hashem. Rashi says to let everyone know that Hashem has done justice in the land. Of course, Hashem wanted that they should be appeased. If they would have agreed to settle for something less, that would have been fine. But their nature, but Hashem, we're going to see, is going to go along with their cruel desire. Vokanum Hashem, and Hashem is going to see that justice is done, and their grievances addressed. Begiva Shol, and we're going to hang up these sons right over there in Giva Shol, in the area that Shol HaMelech lived in, or it's in his hometown. Let everyone see exactly why it ended up with Shol's descendants. Bechir Hashem. Of course, they never said those words. They wouldn't call Shol the chosen one of Hashem. But the Gemara says a baskel came out. They're talking, hanging him up, Giva Shol, and a baskel came out. Shol is the chosen one of Hashem. It's something to keep in mind as we're going through this, as terrible as things sound, but you have to remember we're dealing with Shol, and on his level, he's being given a tremendous punishment to his family, but he remains the chosen, the Bechir Hashem. Vayomer HaMelech, and the king said, Ani Yetein, I'll turn over the men. I'll give over the people you want. Vayomer HaMelech, the king said this as king, because this is not, would not be allowed under normal situations of Beis Din. We'll see a lot of things were done seemingly improperly. We don't know if these children had actually been involved with killing the Givonim. Some of the Mefarshim say perhaps they were guilty. But they certainly were not warned with witnesses and brought before Beis Din and testified. That's not the way it worked. They wanted 7 men. They knew exactly who they wanted. They wanted Shiva Anoshim, and he's going to turn over the 7. And they're all going to be killed on the same day. And there's going to be a number of things that are being done that the courts would never do. Beis Din would never allow. But the king has extra rights. And over here, David was given a message, Min HaShomayim, that this is obviously what Hashem wants. He was given a message, Hashem wants the Givonim appeased, whatever it takes. So even though this normally would never be allowed, but as king, he was able to do what was the Rotzen Hashem. And Vayomer HaMelech, as king, he said, Ani Etein, I'll give them over. Vayachmol HaMelech, but the king had compassion. He had chemla. He had pity. Al-Mephibosheth ben Yehonathan ben Shaul. David was such a close friend with Shaul's son, Yehonathan. And Yehonathan had this son, Mephibosheth. We learned about him before. You had wondered why Mephibosheth didn't come and join him. And we had the story with that slave, Tziva. But David had this close feeling for Yehonathan and his son, Mephibosheth. Al-Shvuat Hashem Asher Beino Sam. There was an oath. They made a shvua between David and Yehonathan that they would be friends and have a lifelong bond. And David felt he had to do something to protect Yehonathan's family. Ben David uvein Yehonathan ben Shaul. There was this pact between David and Yehonathan, the son of Shaul, and therefore David had compassion. And the Gemara says again in Yevamos Daf Ayin Tes, the Gemara asks how he was able to do what he did. We'll see what happened. Vayikach hamelech es shnei b'nei ritzpa bas ayah asher yolda l'shaul. Shaul had a woman who wasn't a regular wife. She was a pilegesh, a concubine. This woman, Ritzpa, gave birth to two sons. Asher yolda l'shaul, she gave birth to sons, and these were sons of Shaul also. Es Armoni v'es Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth obviously was a common name. It seems that the household of Shaul was so humiliated by the way he lost the Malchus and he was killed, that name Bosheth, the Das Seifrim points out, the name became very common in the family that they remembered their embarrassment, their busha. But anyways, because we learned before, Mephibosheth was a grandson of Shaul. Here's a different Mephibosheth who's the son of Shaul. The same name, a different person. Two sons, Armoni and Mephibosheth, were handed over to the Givonim. Ves Chameshes b'nei Michal bas Shaul. Shaul had a daughter, Michal. Michal had five children. Asher yoldel ad Riel ben Barzilai hamachulasi. And she gave birth to these children from the father, Adriel ben Barzilai hamacholosi. He was the father of these children. The difficulty is, Michal was not married to Adriel ben Barzilai. Michal was David's wife. Michal had a sister, Merav, who was married to Adriel ben Barzilai. It was the sister. And we learned elsewhere, David had been dancing, Mephazes, Mecharker, he was dancing in front of the Aron in a way that didn't seem to Michal to be of dignity for a monarch. And she despised David. And she was told she didn't have a child till she died. So, she didn't have five children. And she wasn't the wife of Adriel. So from here you see the tremendous lesson. Chazal learned out, Merav, the mother, died. And her sister Michal raised the children. Lefichach nikru al shema, as Rashi says, if somebody raises a yosom or a yosoma, somebody who raises the orphans is credited as if they're his or her children. So Michal is called the mother of these five children because she raised her sister's children. The king took these seven people, two sons from Ritzpah, five sons from Michal, was actually the children of Merav, as we just discussed, and he gave them Vayitnim biyad hagivonim, and he gave them over to the Givonim. Vayokiyum bohar, and the Givonim took the seven, just as they said they were going to, and they hung them up on the mountain, lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem, in broad display. Vayiplu shvatom yochad, all seven of them fell together. They were all killed together. In fact, it's written as Shivatoyim in plural. The sevens fell together. And some learned that they were cut up. Their bodies were mutilated. There were many more bodies than just seven. Or it could be it wasn't just seven, but all their descendants are no longer are killed. In other words, they wouldn't have children after this. So it's blamed as a multitude of sevens. And the seven of them were killed. Vehema humsu. And they were killed, and it's written Vehem. We read it Vehema. But as if it's missing a hay, because it could be the seven of them were given in two stages. There were the two sons of Rizpah, and then there were the five from Michal. But they were killed b'mekotzir, in the time of the harvest, barishonim, at the beginning of the season, b'schilas ketzir sa'orim, when they begin the harvest of barley, which is around Pesach time. When you bring the Korban Omer, you begin the harvest of the barley. That was the time of year that they were killed. The Gemara says, why were these people given over? Maishnohani, why were these seven the ones chosen? Amar of Huna, Hevirim Lifnei Aroin. David HaMelech took the seven people, take all the descendants of Shaul, and he had them walk in front of the Aron. Kol Sha'aron Kolto Lemisa. Anyone that was stopped in his tracks and he couldn't walk further, the Aron like captured him miraculously. He walked in front of the Aron and he couldn't move further. That was the sign that he should be given over to be killed. Kol Sha'ain Aron Kolto Lechayim. And if the Aron let him walk right by, he lived. So Rav Chana Bar Katina asked, but if you look in the Psukim, it says the king had compassion on Mephibosheth. It seems to be it was his decision. It was David's decision to save Mephibosheth's life. V'chimaso ponim yesh b'davar, is there favoritism here? How did he go ahead and save the life of Mephibosheth? So the Gemara answers, Shelo Heviro. The Aron gave an honest verdict. Seven people had to be chosen. But David just thought of it that Mephibosheth was not one of those who went through the test. He was kept on the sidelines. Actually, the Gemara asked that question about favoritism at this point. Or he didn't let Mephibosheth go in front of the Aron. Is there favoritism here? If everyone's being chosen, who's going to live and who's going to die? How did he allow Mephibosheth not to go? The Gemara answers, Sheviro Vikolto. He went in front of the Aron, and he was caught. Ubike Shalov Rachamim. So when Mephibosheth was caught, David started to daven. And he said, I know that Shaul's going to have seven sons caught, but this is the son of my dear friend Yehonah's son. And he davened. And then he was released. Upolto, and the Aron let him go. So the Gemara again asks, Ve'akati masu panim yesh b'davar. Still, how can you do that? If Mephibosheth would be one of the seven to be killed, somebody else would live. And because you're showing favor to Mephibosheth, somebody's gonna have to be given to the givonim. Should he show favor, as Rashi says, b'dinei nefoshos? Hayelo lahaviras kulon. When you're dealing with life and death, he has no right to show any impartiality. He has to be impartial, right? Elisha bigish rachim shleiglatenu ha'aron. What happened was everyone went in front of the Aron, but before they went, David davened. He said, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Mephibosheth should not be one of those who is selected." But he didn't do more than just daven before. They all went, and Mephibosheth went through, and he lived. So the Gemara asks, it says, lo yumsu avos al bonim, ubonim lo yumsu al avos. Children don't die for the sin of their father. How come these sons of Shaul are being killed? Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, mutav sheteyoker osachas min ha-Torah. It's better to uproot a letter from the Torah. It's a concept that's hard to understand, and only David HaMelech with Urim V'tumim, and they knew exactly what had to be done. But they're uprooting a letter from the Torah, and they're giving over people to be killed who should not have been killed. V'al shem shemayim b'farhesya, to avoid a chil Hashem, not to be mechalal shem shemayim b'farhesya. And Rashi says, the nations were saying, ein umazuru uyin li dobek ba. Klal Yisrael is not a nation that you should join. Because you see the way they treated these Gerim, they see the way they treated the Givonim, they took away their food, and nobody got punished. There was no punishment. So in order that people shouldn't think that they do what they want with the Gerim and there's no justice, What was done is, and again, this was done by the instructions of the Urim Bitumim. But what was done was being oikar oisachas min ha-Torah. This was actually would not have ever been allowed under normal situations. Batikach ritzbo bas ayo sasak. Ritzbo bas ayo took the sackcloth. Batateyu lo el ha-tsur. And she spread it out by the rock. And it uses that word tsur. The Gemara learns out she was saying ha-tsur tamim pa'alo. She was saying tziduk hadin. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the rock and the strength. Whatever Hashem does is correct. That's the drasha. But Pashab Shat, she spread out the sackcloth as a protection. Mitchilas Kotzir, from the beginning of the harvest. And she sat there day, after week, after month. And she wasn't so young anymore. Because as we've mentioned, Shaul was Nifta 30 years earlier. I don't know how old Ritzpah was when she was married to Shaul. But she certainly wasn't so young. And she's there, spread by the rock, mitchilas kotzer, from the beginning of the harvest, anitach mayim aleim, until it started to rain. The givonim were appeased, and the rain came. It was a few months till the rainy season. Some of the mafarshim learned that it could be the rain did come a little bit earlier to, save Ritzbah, and Klai Yisrael got the rain earlier. But according to other Mefarshim, as Rashi learns, it came in the normal rainy season, and so for a few months, she was out there and the bodies were hanging. Ad nitzach mayim aleim min ha-shamayim, until the rain came from Shamayim. V'lo notzna of ha-shamayim lanuch aleihem yomam. She didn't allow the birds to rest on the bodies by day, v'schayas ha-sod eloilo, and she didn't allow the animals to attack the bodies at night. And again, the Gemara asks in Yevamos, there's a law, you can't leave an avela hanging up. How come Klal Yisrael allowed this? In other words, the Givonim got their revenge. But why? Klal Yisrael ruled the country. Why are they leaving the bodies hanging? It says, lo soli nivlosu ala eitz. You're not allowed to leave a body. Even if somebody was chayiv misa and he was killed by the courts, the body's not left overnight. And the Gemara answers, it's better to be oiker one letter from the Torah, v'iskade shem shamayim befarhesya, to make a public kiddush Hashem. Because anybody walking by would say, whose bodies are those? And the answer would be, these are the children of the king. And they touched and they hurt these lowest geirim. The children of the king hurt the givonim, who are the lowest people in the society. This is their punishment. And the Gemara says afterwards, 150,000 people became Gerim and joined Klal Yisrael. And later on, when Shlomo had to build the Beis HaMikdash, it says he had 70,000 people carrying the load and 80,000 cutting the rocks out of the mountain. It was from the people came to join. They couldn't get over the greatness of Klal Yisrael, that somebody hurt the Givonim and the princes and the children of the king are the ones who are killed. So they left the bodies hanging. But you got the David. David heard about this. Eisa shir osasa ritzvah vas'ayah. What ritzvah vas'ayah did, the pilegesh of Shaul. This tremendous chesed. And David wasn't planning on saying a hesped over Shaul. It was really too late. It was the year was over. But he saw what Ritzpah did in her mesiras nefesh. And her kavod for those who had died. So David felt he should do something. Vayelech David vayikach es atzmo Shaul. David went and he took the bones of Shaul. Ves atzmos Yehonasan beno. And he took the bones of Yehonasan that had been buried on the other side of the Yarden in Yavesh Gilad. They were taken away from the plishtim and quietly buried. Now David went and he took out those bones. Me'es bala Yavesh Gilad, from the people in Yavesh Gilad who had buried them. Asher gonvo osam mirchov Beishan. The people had stolen them from the public square in Beishan. That was the Plishti, one of their places. Asher tolo'um shama plishtim. The plishtim had hung Shaul and his son. B'yom hakos plishtim es Shaul ba'Gilboa. And the plishtim struck Shaul. In the battle of Gilboa, the mountain of Gilboa, there was a war, and the plishtim defeated Shaul. They took these bodies and they hung them up. The people of Yavesh Gilad stole away those bodies and brought them back and buried them. Now David is going to take those bones that are now on the other side of the Jordan and bring them back to Eretz Yisrael proper, to the West Bank, between there and the Eretz Yisrael, between the Mediterranean and the Jordan. Vayal misham es atzmo shol, he brought up from there the bones of Shol, ves atzmo Yehonah son Beno, and the bones of Yehonah son Beno. Vayasfu, and they gathered as atmos hamukoin, the bones of all those people that just now were hung up by the Givonim, those seven people. Now, once they gather the bones, first of all, when a body is reinterred, that's a day of mourning, a one-day mourning period when bones are reinterred and reburied. So a hesped would now be proper again, even though, because again, once they remove the bones and rebury them, again it's a time for hespedim. Also, they were hespedim because of the other seven people killed, the people of Shol's family. And once they're saying hespedim, again, they can already put in about Shol and Yehonah's son would be proper, and therefore they were brought, and David was said hespedim, and there were hespedim. Vayikbros atmo Shol v'Yehonah's son b'no. They buried the bones of Shol and Yehonah's son, his son. Be'eretz Binyamin, and the land of Binyamin, Betzela. In Tzela, that was the name of the place. It's permitted to remove a buried body to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. That's one of the situations that's allowed. And here they're bringing them over to the actual land of Binyamin. It's also allowed if the Nifter will be brought back to his family. They brought him Bekever Kish Aviv, to the grave of Kish's father. Vayatsu kol asher tzivo hamelech. And they did everything that the king commanded. Referring to the hespedim that we talked about. David HaMelech saw to it, at this occasion, they should properly eulogize. Vayayotzayer Elokim la'oretz achreichein. And now Hashem listened to the prayers, listened to the pleas of the land after this, and now there was rain, and the hunger was over. The Givonim were appeased, and Klal Yisrael was forgiven. There was another battle with the Plishtim and Klal Yisrael. David went down with his servants. And they battled with the Plishtim. And David became weary. We're going to learn there were four sons or descendants from Orpah. Right? Ruth and Orpah. It's not that long since Shavuos. Orpah had four sons who were giants. We're now going to learn how all four of them were killed. The first battle, David was still there. And he battled with the Plishtim and he became weary. The Yishbi Benov, that giant, Asher Bilidei Harofa, among the children of the giant. Umishkal Keno Shlosh Meos, the weight of his spear was 300 Mishkal Nechoshes and a copper weight. Vuhu Chagur Chadosha, and he was wearing a new belt. And when a Gibor put on the new belt, it was a sign that he wanted to initiate his belt with an act of valor. So if he put on a new belt, a new sword, he girded himself with a new sword, he was out to certainly kill somebody on the day that he wore his new sword. Vayomer l'hakos es David. And he said he's going to strike David. This Yishbi Benov, the giant with a tremendous spear that weighed 300 copper, whatever, coins, it was a tremendous weight. And today was the day he wanted to show his valor. And David was weary. Vayoaf David. Vayazelo Avishai ben Tsruya. Avishai ben Tsruya helped him out. Vayachas HaPlishti, and he struck the Plishti. Vayimiseyu, and Avishai ben Tsruya killed the Plishti. Oz nishbu anshei David lo. At that point, David's men swore to him, Lamor, saying, Lo sei tseori tonel amelchama. Don't go out for us anymore to battle. Lo sechabes ner Yisrael, don't extinguish the light of Klal Yisrael. The king is our light. And David's death would bring darkness to the nation. David's already getting older. He shouldn't go out to war anymore. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi, Hey, Amid Aleph, has a whole discussion of the miraculous train of events how David was in enemy territory, and Avishai ben Tsruya came miraculously at Kfitzas Aderech. The road was shortened for him, and he came on the scene. It was Erev Shabbos, and he saved David's life. A whole story, exactly how this was done. It was afterwards. There was another battle, and Gov with the Plishtim. There was somebody, Sivchai Hachushasi, one of David's warriors, and he struck Saf. That was the name of the giant, who was also from the Elidei Harapha. Harapha is like Orpa. He was one of these children of Orpa. Giant number two is killed. Batiodam Elchom of Agovim Plishtim was another battle. Vayach Elchanan ben Yare Orgim. Elchanan ben Yare Orgim struck. Beis Halachmi, this Elchanan came from Beis Lechem. Eis Goliath Hagiti. Actually, the Mephorshim say was the brother of Goliath, because Goliath was killed by David a long time earlier. But now he killed the brother of Goliath. Ve'etz chaniso, the shaft of his spear, the wood, was kiminor argim, like those tremendous beams that they have by a loom to wind the thread around. The big, heavy beams. Okay, we'll stop here.